Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name Ed Sylvester. This is
Sam Bradley.
And oh, welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons and Dragons. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
How are you? You okay?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm good.
Excelente.
How's your week in D&D been, my friend?
My week? Well, yes.
Because you're playing a hell of a lot more than I. I'm just sat here lonely, developing characters and doing silly voices to no one.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I can't ask you as much how your D&D week has gone, but still. I mean, you said developing characters. So have you been... Ooh. What's come out of the mill? What's come out of the standard character mill that every D&D player has, where they go like, here's my next 5 to 8 characters?
Again, it's not really... You know how you, with joke, you sort of think of the pun, the punchline, and work backwards?
Yes.
Right? I come up with, like, a voice or how that character might be introduced and then work backwards. So... I've got a bit of a Doctor Strangey wizard who's a bit of a pisshead, who I quite like. I like a drunk wizard. And he's got some trauma, obviously. Or maybe he doesn't. I think maybe he doesn't have trauma. And it's just a little bit of affluenza, like nothing. Oh my God, everything's so bored. So there's that kind of thing.
Yeah, quite
I've been re-watching, I should say, Parts Unknown. So I've kind of been looking... for like, how do I make Anthony Bourdain a D&D character, like a wizard that travels the world looking at different cultures but like sampling different magic instead of food? So it's very wizardy.
You do know, I mean, I've harped on about this many a time.
Yeah.
There is the cook class.
I know. And I do think it, but I don't want to play it just to not give you the satisfaction, to be honest, but I know I have looked at it. So there was sort of like that kind of element that I quite like. Someone who's just out to see the world. Oh, why are you travelling? Why not?
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's a very halfling approach to the world, isn't it?
Well, that's now funny you should say that, because my other character was a sort of halfling monk / rogue, because I'm reading the Baby Bump. Baby Starter Set Sam obviously isn't cooked yet. But I'm reading The Baby Bump, The Hobbit, right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And it's so much fun. I tell you for why, because it's like doing an episode of Tarthage, because I do all the voices. So all the dwarves that aren't Thorin are Irish. Thorin is Scottish. Gandalf is up here. And Bilbo Baggins is down here. But I really like the idea of Bilbo. He's just this guy that gets caught up in it.
Yeah.
And they need him to do one thing. Run in there and fucking nick the thing. And until then, kind of just shut up and stay at the back and just see the world and get into these scrapes. I think that's quite a nice sort of background, if you will, for a character. So yeah, just that kind of stuff, really.
Yeah. Do you think that's what makes that book quite relatable as well?
Yes. It's why it's the better book. Oh, fucking hell. It is. It's why it's the better book, because it's a better everyman.
Yeah.
It's because the thing with Lord of the Rings is, and look, I'm not shitting on Lord of the Rings, it's really good. But like Frodo, if you remember, they give him the ring because he's like this incorruptible fucking... And it's not like, oh, it's just a hobbit thing, because we fucking know that it isn't, because Bilbo's kind of done his nut by the beginning of Lord of the Rings. So yeah, I think The Hobbit is a better movie / story because... it's an everyman tale.
Whoa, hang on. Right. Did you just say better movie?
I meant story, because I know there's debate, but I know that there's people...
This I will allow. Otherwise, I was about to just end the show there, like, damn.
I know that people who have too much fucking time on their hands are like, oh, Lord of the Rings. Do you know what? I've seen Lord of the Rings once through, and it was the extended cut, and I took it all in, and I went... this is marvellous, and then I never watched it again. and it's not because it's shit. It's really good. I just like... how many times can you eat a whole fucking lasagna?
I'll tell you, Sam.
15 hours of my life.
Ed, 14... Well, no, hang on. 2001 first one was released. So 11-year-old to 16-year-old Ed ate that lasagna at least once a week.
What, the extended editions?
Well, obviously as soon as they came out, yes. But before that...
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. And there was a point during there where it wasn't all three films. It was just one film. But I'd watch that one film.
Do you know what I used to do? When Christopher Eccleston's Doctor Who came out, right, that was the first sort of series that I'd ever known that released the episodes on DVD before they came on TV. So they'd like release a DVD with like the first three and then the second three.
Did they?
And yeah, they did. And I bought them all individually. And like, I was so into Doctor Who. I was so into Doctor Who. And Christopher Eccleston is my doctor still. That wow. Before it was like 7 o'clock on a Saturday. And then from like 5 o'clock onwards, because they were like a fucking hour long. I think they still are. Yeah. I would just put in and watch like the first three every Saturday. So I that one series of Christopher Eccleston, I am like Rain Man. Because obviously, I had the scripts as well from the books. So I had all the scripts and shit. I would read those as well when I wasn't watching the DVDs.
I didn't realise you were that much of a Whovian. This is a revelation.
I'm not now because it's diabolical. For a number of reasons, not just, oh, because she's a lady. That's not the point. It's really fucking spectacularly poorly written, and it has been for a good long while. Mm. And if you don't think that, you're lying to yourself more than anything.
Hang on. Well, then where was the drop-off?
I think, how many seasons did, not Prince Philip.
Matt Smith.
Matt Smith, how many seasons did he do?
I think he did three.
Yeah, he did three, didn't he? I think after, like, because he did all that sort of time slip, oh, I know this chick and she doesn't know me yet, or I don't know her but she knows me, and then those timelines met.
Yes.
And I think once they wrapped that shit up, it was like, bleh. And that was it. Peter Capaldi didn't get a good run, I don't think.
Well, those time streams only finished in Capaldi's run.
Did they?
Yeah.
So the writing was so poor that they took the most interesting storyline, and even then I couldn't get my fucking head around. No, thanks.
Oh, fair enough. No, that's fair. Do you think that's losing Moffat when that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, they lost Stephen Moffat. They lost Russell T. Davis, who, for what... Okay, I know, I get it. I can feel you judging me from the comments. I don't follow all that bullshit about, oh, I don't know why he's not on the job anymore. But he's a good writer. Sorry to piss on everyone's bonfire, but he is a good fucking writer. Go back and watch the episode in the school with David Tennant, where Anthony Head is playing the leader of these winged creatures, then they're trying to mine, right? And there's a scene, it's in a fucking swimming pool, right? They're not in the swimming pool, but they're like around the edge of a school swimming pool. And Anthony Head's like, oh, it's like one of those conversations that's not about the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And David Tennant's just like, says, tell me what's going on. I'm not here to fuck anyone's day up. Tell me what's going on. But no, if I don't like it, it stops. And it's like, fuck. The first few David Tennants and Christopher Eccleston was tightly written. Anyway, how's your week in D&D, B?
No, it's been good. I mean, do you know what? You've definitely lived up to your wizard name there, Sam the Contrary.
But I'm not being contrary. Just watch it. Watch the fucking two Slovene. Right. Watch the scene where they're in Downing Street and he's going, well, I need information. And he's like, Harriet Jones, MP Flydale North, and Rose Tyler, like, they're green. Yep, narrows it down. They hunt like it's a sport. Yep, narrows it down. They're risky. Rax Kurica Falapatorius. You've never seen that trope done where it's like, okay, this guy has like an on the spectrum knowledge of everything, where it's just like a normal guy. It's the best execution of that trope in modern TV. It's really good. It's really tight. It's not contrary. It's just going, you know, you don't have to like something just because a certain subsection of culture that everyone else bows down to says that you should like it.
Ah, there we go.
I even did the Kermit the Frog sort of.
You did the I'm drinking the water and feeling smug about myself after saying things.
That's the tea, buddy.
Yeah, no, there we go. So, my D&D week... to bring it back to D&D.
Yes. Good. And another thing. And another thing. Don't touch me.
So yeah, fun. Couple of bits. It's been some fun, solid sessions. The game that you're involved with.
Yes.
Or were involved with that. Unfortunately, you've died. So we finally put you to bed. Do you remember Zebulon created a grief puppet for people to be able to like talk to and deal with?
Oh, did that get really hard hitting out of nowhere?
It got slightly hard hitting, and then one of the characters, we came into this basically like chamber of life pods, and one of the characters was like, what if we put the puppet into the life pod, and we created just, you know, at the end of The Fly?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You Cronenberged me.
Yeah, we Cronenberged your character. And
see, like, here I was thinking it was going to be like Spock's funeral.
No, you haven't had... There was a couple of, like, there's some nice bits in it. Like, one of the characters is very much out for revenge, and then there's a couple of them who have sort of said goodbyes or whatever. Zebulon isn't fussed, because life is just fleeting to him, and he can bring everything back again.
Nature's way of keeping meat fresh.
Yeah, exactly. So that was interesting, and we fought some horrific, horrific creatures based upon your character, going, you know, hello there, and things like that, as you do.
Oh no, so the Cronenbergs came for you.
Yeah.
Okay, fair play, I like that. Mm. I was heartened to receive a message off our DM Isaac, because I heard you all, obviously we have a WhatsApp group that I'm still a part of, and you were all chatting about it, and I was like, oh, I wish I could play. And Isaac's like, look, this is a play in three acts. We're not even out of act one. The way you guys are playing it, we probably won't be out of this fucking ship by next summer, so you can definitely come back with a new character.
Yeah. 100%. We're definitely a, what's this thing do? What's this thing do? What's this thing do? There's the main quest. Okay, pause for that in a moment. What's this thing do?
You're just doing all the side quests.
Yeah, 100%.
This is going to be a bumper long show, because I've realised we've talked about our own crap for nearly quarter of an hour.
That's fine. That's what people come here for. It's definitely not the D&D content. It's Sam not. And Ed. Ed and Sam. It's four seasons in a movie.
Four seasons in one Sam. We should say before we play the ads and get into the final instalment of our buyer's guide, do stick around to the end of the show, because we have a small announcement. We have an announcement to make at the end of this show, so stick around after this. We're going to talk about some law books, I believe.
Yes. So this week on Starter Set, we haven't even got on Buyer's Guides. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the extra laws and the your bolt-on books, I think is what you'd describe them as.
Yeah.
Bolt-on books. Yeah, that's what they are. Perfect. All right, so that'll come up after these ads.
Since the dawn of time, there have been storytellers who teach through their stories. These myths give rise to fundamental truths, and these truths shape our collective experience. Yet these myths are not something of the past, and today they engage us more fully in the story itself. Video games allow us to live the lives of our favorite myths. My name is BlueCrew86, host of Focus Fire Chat, and I want to invite you to explore our modern-day myths with us. Join with us as we explore the stories, the mythologies of the Destiny franchise, as well as other games. Let's explore together.
And welcome back. We are talking this week about your BOBs, bolt-on books. I am, of course, talking about the four of them, if I'm correct, which I am, usually.
Which four are you? Because I'm thinking Mordekainen's.
Correct.
Volos.
Correct.
Tasha's.
Correct.
And Sword Coast?
No. Bad Sam, get in your box.
bye.
Xanathars, my friend.
Oh, fucking Xanathars. Oh, those are all great except one, which is dog shit. But yes. We'll get onto that.
So we'll figure out which one, Sam. You all know already, because he said it like five times as part of this entire example.
Do you know what rankles me? Is that you spoke so highly of it.
And you I do, like, and oh, I still do, and I stand
get more
by
Dukkanians.
It.
Get more. And I was like, should I get anything else? And you're like, get more Dukkanians. It's great. And then I read it, and I was like, I don't need 100 pages of why there are fucking elves.
No. Well, I'll tell you why, Sam. I'll tell you why you don't think you need it. And it's also why you don't think you need it as well.
Careful, son.
Because what? So what Mordenkainen's does, and I'll agree with you. It's not the strongest out of the four options that we've got there. 100%, it's not. But it is definitely a bolt-on book for players. The reason why it's the bolt-on book for players is, and of those races that are covered, yeah, it's got the Blood War in it, which I think basically they chucked in so people got excited about. What's that adventure? Descent into Avernus.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's what that little section in there is, and that's fine, and that gives you enough to not be able to go, so you don't have to go and buy Descent into Avernus, basically, if you don't like it. But what it does do is it gives you context for each race in much more detail. Like we do our races episode for starter sets. So for elves, right, we're sitting there going like, what is it like to live for millennia? What's it like to live for 1,000 years? If you think about our current... go back 1,000 years from now.
So you'd be born the like 1066. You'd be born like right before Battle of Hastings.
Yeah, exactly.
Before, I don't know. I don't know any other country's history, but I know Battle when the Battle of Hastings was.
So 1066. By about 30 years. Right.
Right.
And then think about the history of like our progression.
Hang on, that's shit. No, I'm going to call you on this. Dreadful. It would all be crap up until conservatively 1950. Because you're not a time traveller. You're not like, ooh, I'm going to go and see fucking Mozart before. You're just, you don't even have clean water for 900 years. That's insane.
So you've got to live through that. And that's,
you get to fight Napoleon. Yeah, but you get to fight Napoleon, I think, and Hitler. And you can't be like, oh, watch out for this dude. You have to be like, oh, they're cutting everyone's heads off today. I hope I make it out of this. I think you could be drafted into like 6 or 7 world conflicts. Mm-hmm. Dreadful. And then what? And then when you're 950 years old, you put on the record player and it's and you don't know that that's still shit. You've got 50 years until, or what? You've got like 20 years after that till you get the Rolling Stones. Oh, can I listen to it on an iPod? Not for another 40 years. Sorry, old timer.
Yeah, but you don't know that it's going to be an iPod.
Yeah, so why torture yourself with it?
So, but
farming. I hope you like farming. You're going to be doing it for 900 years.
What you're doing there, though, is exactly what you probably should do as an elf player, is go, how would that make me feel if I have lived 1,000 years?
No wonder they're all uppity. They're just tired. Do you know what? I've mowed both lawns and cleaned the house today and changed the bed, and I'm knackered, right? And that is how you feel as an elf all the time. Just, oh. No wonder Elrond's like, oh, fucking dwarves in The Hobbit.
Yeah, 100%. Oh,
this.
More of this.
Oh,
so that's,
God.
You know, and to be fair, Mordenkainen's, I think, spans that gap between a player book and a DM book because of that.
Because there's stuff to rip off, and I do, as much as I shit on it, I do kind of like the halfling stuff. I actually did read and go, oh shit, that's going to inform how I play and build. I was building a halfling character at a time, potentially for a campaign. And I was kind of like, oh, that will inform decisions.
Yeah. And it's also a good monster book as well. I mean, the key's in the name, Tome of Foes. It's got a good bunch of monsters in it. But that does then bring us to my next one, which is easy. So we're talking about monsters. Of course, only flipping Volos comes out.
Oh, now this.
It's a little guide to monsters, isn't it?
Now this. And it has I think it has Furbolgs in it, doesn't it?
Playable races. Yes, it does, Sam.
And it has Aesmir in it.
Tabaxi as well.
Yeah. Oh, an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, so this is categorically the first one that I encourage people to get after they've got the big three.
Definitely.
Or if they go down the big three.
Definitely.
Or if you're a player, player handbook and then Volo's Guide. Because it's that much richer. Like, I think having the race options... So some people would say do Xanathar's second. But I
there's
think
a good,
having...
There's good stuff in Xanathar's, though. Xanathar's...
Yeah, there 100% is.
And Volo's, I kind of put on an even footing.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. I think it depends on whether you look at the standard races in your player's handbook and you go... I've fantasied out. I've done fantasy stuff for like years. I've read lots of books and these things are all cool, but I've done half orcs, I've done elves, I've done dwarves. I want something a bit different. And then you go,
what's in Xanathar's race wise then?
There's none. There's no races in Xanathar's. It's just subclasses.
That's it. Excuse me. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why it's great.
So that's the separation from the two is
yeah.
if you sit there and go like, I love elves, or I love dwarves, and I'll always play an elf or a dwarf, or I'll always play a halfling, then you go straight to Xanathar's, because you're always going to choose those races, so
yeah.
It's just about giving the extra fun elements to those races. Xanathar's then, to those races, because then you've got the better subclasses, or
yeah.
just different subclasses, rather than better.
Those are the three, those are the four, the three or four for character building, I think. Player's Handbook, Volo, Xanathar's, and Tasha's.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I'm kitted out.
You don't need another fucking book in terms of building a character.
Yeah. 100%. It gives you exactly the right options. There's a couple of adventure books which kind of give you some fun options. We looked at obviously the Harrigans and also Eberron's. Harrigan's in Witchlight and Eberron, which obviously gives you the Warforged.
And Changelings.
Which are interesting races, don't get me wrong. And you also get a couple of subclasses and race options in there with the marks. But it's a campaign setting. That's what that book is. And we haven't done those. I don't know if we will. I don't think we will, actually.
I think you can build...
Well, because we've talked about them in the show already. That's
yeah, exactly. We've done like adventures and stuff, and we've talked about Eberron. We did a whole series on Eberron.
Yeah.
I think what we're talking about today is subject matter. So yeah, I think Volos is great. I mean, we can stop beating around the bush. I think in terms of cool shit for your money, Tasha's takes some beating.
Yeah, it does.
Because it's not just as okay, so I was sort of slagging off Mordenkainen is because it's very thick lore, and I, as someone who wants to just read and steal and put together, da, 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 but Tasha's does that as well, as we covered in our Tasha's episodes. You know, the guilds and the allies.
Yeah,
fuck, I mean, you can do a lot with just that in terms of idea jump off points.
Well, I think what we're seeing is, I think Wizards, when they first started releasing these books, they had a vision of the books that they wanted to release, including Volos and Xanathar's. And then I think they kind of didn't realise the impact that 5th edition would have on the world. And they've gone, we need more content. And they've they're trying to do that sort of... They've done the first film, the second film, and they're trying to do like... It's almost like the film second point five film, you know, the one that's like linked to the universe, but don't know how it's linked to the universe.
Yeah, it's like we made one of these films and it went down really well, so let's make a sequel. But we're going to make two sequels that really do link together much better than they do to the first one.
Yes, exactly. And we kind of had this weird like pause in the third of the books that have released, where the content that we got wasn't necessarily up to standard, I think is what I'll say. It's good, like it still scratches that itch, don't get me wrong, but you definitely don't finish some of those books and some of those adventures going like, fuck yeah, I can't wait to do this, or I can't wait to use this, or this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And then recently, they've really kicked it out of the park. And like, I think the last three books have been the Mutt's Nuts.
I mean, Fizzbands was fucking great.
Fizzbands is great. I know we haven't really talked about it.
Is great. Yeah. I think they're going to screw the pooch on. I was so excited for Curriculum of Chaos until I found out it was a Magic the Gathering tie-in. Now I've taken it off Christmas and birthday list. I could not give less of a shit about that book anymore. But what was before Witchlight? I think it was Tasha's.
I think it's Tasha's. It could be wrong.
Feel like there was an adventure book between Tasha's. Oh, there was fucking Ravensloft. That was great as well in terms of idea jump-off points.
Yeah, that is. That did feel a bit more that's come around because of the remastering of Vampire One. But yeah, that was okay. Strong. So yeah, so we're now coming into the position where Wizards, number one, they figured out what sells for them, so they're happy and their shareholders are happy, but also they figured out what people want as far as the content goes. And how to deliver that in a concise way that's like impactful, and that you can sit down, you open each page and go like, I found something that is immediately interesting that jumps out at me, and I go, ooh, what's that? And I read into it more. Because that's how I tend to consume these books.
Yeah.
I think they're really difficult sometimes to sit down and go, right, page one, and then you consume it that way.
You can't. I've for world building less so, but for character building, if you're doing it anywhere other than where you keep your books, get ready to carry five of those fucking things around with you to wherever you want to be, and a notepad. Seriously, though, if you're going to do it old school and look at like, right, okay, fucking furballs, well, I need this class. Okay, well, okay, so let's say you want to be like a furball warlock whose subclass isn't in the main book. That's three books already. And that's if you know you want to play it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's like, I want to have a little flavour of this, but I wonder if I could do this where it's a little bit more flavoursome. I'll just grab Tasha's.
Yeah.
I just grab Tasha's. And it's like, well, I might want to play like Halfling or an Elf, but I want to like, oh, fine, Mordekaiser, you can come. Got it. Jesus.
You know? But you're going to have a great time. That's the thing. I think if you can sit down, if you get those five books and you can sit down for like 3 hours, get like a nice long brew coffee on the go, or get a little pastry. What do you fancy? Mm-hmm. What do you fancy, Sam? What pastry do you want?
Pain au chocolat.
Oh, a little pain au chocolat. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Fresh. It's raining outside, but you're warm inside. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your five books in front of you, and you've got and then, 3 hours alone in the quiet.
Oh, it's lovely. I tell you what, though, and then you go, I'm really happy with this. I really like this. I'm gonna go and put this in D&D Beyond. Oh wait, I've got to buy like six other things. Great.
Well, that's why you just do it pen and paper. I advocate pen and paper. It is
cheaper. But then it's like, oh, I gotta keep track of all my fucking spells and my hit points and temporary hit points, and then I level up and everything I have to write in pencil like a 6-year-old.
But
no.
you know your character. If you spend the time writing it down, you know everything you can do, you have everything there in your mind because you've thought and you've taken it slow. And yeah, that's my advocacy for doing it old school.
Nah, fair enough.
100%.
So I would recommend, let's say you've got the big three, two of the big three that we spoke about. Mm-hmm. I would say get Volos, then Tasha's, then Xanathar's, then Mordekaiser's. What would you say?
I would say, yeah, that's fine. I would swap Volos for Xanathar's in that environment.
Whoa. Oh, really? Okay. I'm just thinking because it gives you a few more races.
Yeah, again, but that's because of the reasons why I've said before. I'm quite happy with the old schools. Like, I love halflings and I tend to play halflings quite a lot, or just humans. Oh, that's something that was interesting. We did, this is a throwback. but we were talking about the idea of a character race called Holelings, which is just a subsect of halflings who have just learnt to coexist with each other, and they always stand on each other's shoulders, and that's how that works. And they just call themselves Holelings because they were like fed up with being called halflings. If one of
I
us
don't
stands...
remember us talking about this.
No, not you and me. That's fine. There was a moment where you were sitting there going like, I have got to see a doctor. no, as part of one of the gaming groups, which was fantastic.
Right, okay.
And then I've got other friends.
Well, okay, you'll enjoy this because it's a character concept as well, and I know I'm going on. So we would call, or I would call the first ones that I would play Genesis, and they would be, it would be Peter Gabriel, or one of them would be called Peter Gabriel, and the other one would be called the bloke that did Sledgehammer. Oh, Phil Collins, of course, or Peter Collins.
No, you've fucked that up.
Have I have done it the wrong way around?
Phil Collins was Genesis, and Peter Gabriel was Sledgehammer.
Yes, but Peter Gabriel was part of Genesis. Anyway,
right, that's it.
And the great thing is if you push this person down the stairs, the sounds it makes is
brilliant. that was worth the build up. Fair enough.
Thanks very much.
Oh
well, look, let's bring the show to a close with our aforementioned bombshell of an announcement.
Well, hang on. oh man.
Do you want me?
Yes. No. I'm there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've done this show now for nearly, I would say, more than 150 episodes. We've done 3 years, and it has been so much fun. And it recently, in the last sort of year and a half, it has stepped up again and again and again, and to the point where we're talking to all, not all of our fans, but a small measure of our fans, and hearing how much you all like it. And don't ever think that we don't take that to heart, which is why this is much more difficult than I thought it was going to be. But this episode that you're listening to now will be the final sort of regular installment of Starter Set.
Yes.
Because we're changing things up. And Ed's going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But we're changing it up. We're going to do one more show, a sort of farewell show, next week. And then Starter Set, as you know it, that the weekly show will be going on quite a bit of a hiatus. Now, keen to say that things like Tales of Tarthage and other projects that we've spoken about in the past will continue to be released. We don't know if that's going to be a weekly thing or we're going to drop a whole series, sort of a la Netflix. But when we know what we're going to do with that, you will know, because the social media will always be there, and the Discord will always be there for people to chat about Dungeons and Dragons, and for Ed and I to jump in and to chat about your week in Dungeons and Dragons, because it is really, what I know it sounds really sacrosanct and something that everyone says, but it is so rewarding. It has been so rewarding to build this thing, this podcast, from not knowing about Dungeons and Dragons personally to it being such a huge part of my life. So what I'm trying to say is Starter Set is coming to an end for a bit, or at least the weekly installments of Starter Set are coming to an end for a bit. And then after Christmas, well, we've got something else planned, which we think you're really going to enjoy.
Yes. So this is where I'll jump in then. So yeah. So Starter Set, as you know it, obviously, basically, we didn't want to get to the point where we felt like we were flogging a dead horse and creating content for the sake of creating content and basically shortchanging you as listeners. We think we've covered a lot of what D&D is and what the show was meant to be, which is to get people, you know, up and running and playing and introduce people to the game and in a fun and engaging way through myself teaching Sam. Now, Sam obviously now is somewhat competent as far as a player and DM goes. Because I can't give... Yeah, no worries. I can't give you everything there. So, yeah, that's the main reason behind the decision. Now, based on the feedback that we've been seeing with the show and the way that it all works and the way that we also work as a duo, we have a new show and a new IP coming out in the new year as of February. Now, if you're observant and you know various tabletop RPG release dates and things like that, you will probably have an inkling of an idea of what I'm talking about.
Tell them. Fuck it. Let's do it. Drop
okay,
it.
Fine. So myself and Sam are starting a new project. It is called Let's Get Shwarma, which will be a tabletop RPG how to play, similar to that of starter set of the new upcoming Marvel tabletop RPG, using the Earth 616 system. So we think it's a lot of D6s, but as that is literally playtesting in February next year, we are going to be up and running, ready to set that all up this December. So there'll be a website. There's going to be... Basically, we're taking all of the things that we learned doing starter set and it being our starter set of being podcasters and then channeling that into what is the equivalent of our campaign 2, which is always better because you've spent campaign 1 figuring out what the hell you're doing.
I mean, everyone who listens to this show knows that obviously we're in that world. I am especially excited to be working on a Marvel project. Or at least a project, I should say, based on those characters and sort of to have the opportunity or at least the skill set now to do a show that seems to be where tabletop gaming, which is something that's obviously Ed's bread and butter, and then the Marvel Universe, be it cinematic and comic book and character and story, which is I consider to be my sort of bread and butter, to have a project that merges those two things is really exciting. And once we thought about doing it, we couldn't think about anything else really, and we reached a point where I think starter set was starting to just wind down a little bit because of all the reasons that Ed said.
Mm-hmm.
Ed, the Patreons, we have to mention those.
Yes,
all the people that have made unwillingly or unwittingly made Let's Get Shwarma possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously the money that we get off our patrons is always welcome and has bought us books and mics and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
and has financed sort of the startup of Let's Get Shwarma in a small way, really. But
yeah,
you know, it's all good. It's all still Starter Set Studios, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Ed, what are we saying to the patrons?
So, patrons, you'll have one more bonus show out of us releasing on the 30th of November. After that point, I'll be stopping all cash coming out and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think what I want to do is release some content to you guys, just as a big sort of thank you. I've actually been typing up the subclasses that we did into nice dockies, so I might just drop those for everybody so that you can all see them. So again, thank you so much, because your help has actually made us be able to set this new project up in the right way, so that we can actually approach it in the right way, have impact in the digital space ultimately. And that's about it. So it's the last, or one of the last. Next week we'll obviously be back again to run through our sort of best ofs and favorite moments.
You thought we got loosey-goosey at the beginning of this fucking episode.
Yeah, it's going to
get... Oh, boy.
It should be interesting.
We're going to do a greatest... I think we should do a little bit of prep. We should do our favourite moments.
Mm.
Because obviously the patrons are getting their session zero, and that's a behind-the-scenes thing. So let's not just do that. Let's do our favourite top three, top highs and lows, do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, something like
of
that.
Starter set?
I think we'll put it out to the Discord and to those channels as well to kind of get your thoughts and feelings on it for the show so that we can tailor it a bit.
Yeah, we should definitely do that.
So, as always, roll well and we will see you next week. Goodbye.